Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Iggy Garcia Live. I am broadcasting live here in Columbus, Ohio, and we are on episode 34. Today is The Journey Within, and hopefully you can stay with us for a portion of the show. I've been gone for a while, so I've been kind of on a little vacation out in Virginia Beach visiting my family there, Markel and Jake and Liliana and my new grandson, Leonardo. Actually, his name is Ignacio Leonardo, so he's named after me, which is pretty cool. You know, kind of, you know, I didn't know how I was going to feel about that, you know, having someone named after, you know, yourself. It's kind of cool. And, you know, these are pretty good times. And then just got to see them, you know, it was kind of neat, you know, watching them grow and watching them go through their things, and Liliana going through her little jealousy moments. I don't know, really jealousy, but just her wanting people to know that she's still around, you know, that she's the baby too, you know, not little brother. So it was pretty exciting to see that interaction between both of them. I was pretty happy for, you know, Markel and Jake for their beautiful accomplishment in that, you know, co-creation of a new child. So I was pretty happy with that. But I want to welcome everybody today. It is November 6th. I can't even believe it's November. It's crazy. It's how fast time flies, and we're moving closer and closer to more holidays. And now we're getting into, let's see, Thanksgiving's next, right? Yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up. And let's see, then we have Christmas and other holidays, of course, that people will celebrate. But, yeah, so that's pretty exciting. There's a lot going on here. We're ramping up to 2018, finishing in 2017, kind of letting things go. So 2017 has been kind of an interesting year for me. I've been fun and I've had a good time with it. It's been challenging. It's been exciting. I've accomplished a lot of things. So I'm pretty grateful for 2017. And I still got, almost 2 months, not really quite there yet, but, yeah, but it's just moving so quickly. So I want to start the show off by, you know, inviting everybody to the space to share with their ideas and concerns. The call number is 646-595-3440, if those of you who wish to call in. And you can ask your questions here, too, also, since we're doing a live stream on Facebook. So we're doing two shows within one format, two different formats, you know, using the application of Facebook and using the application of Blog Talk Radio with Insights Radio. I'd like to start the show off with burning a little sage. Just kind of set the tone a little bit. So we're going to set intentions. I'm going to take the smoke into my eyes so I can see all the beautiful things. I'm going to take the smoke into my mouth so I can speak all the beautiful things. Take the smoke into my ears so I can hear all the beautiful things. I'll take the smoke into my heart, into my spirit, into my soul, so I can be one with all the beautiful things in the universe. And release all that energy, perceived negative, to be recycled back and set to zero. So you can use sage, Palo Santo, whatever you're called to. I like the California sage. It's nice. It has a nice aroma. All right. So there we go. We'll let that burn there in the corner as we do the show. But yeah, I wanted to talk today a little bit about the journey within. I know that's the title. That's a pretty heavy loaded, you know, topic, question, whatever, what that journey is. I know for a lot of us, you know, we all come from different schools and different backgrounds and different ideas and different things that we resonate and different things that we want to be part of or associated with. And, you know, by no means am I here to say that what I'm telling you is, you know, true or not true. It's things that I've learned along the way that I'm just sharing. So whatever I say, you know, you take it, you leave it, it's up to you. You really have, in the end, you have to make the final decision for yourself. What works for you, what's best for you, what fits into your paradigm, what fits into, you know, your system, what fits into your life, what would you like to fit into your life? It's like shopping. You just, like you've heard me say this before, it's like shopping. You go to the store for a few things, you pick up a couple things. Sometimes we pick up extra things, and the other times, you know, we don't pick up anything. We just move along. We just saw what we needed to see. But none of us really go down the shelves and just put our hand out and just shove everything into the cart. Unless it's a game show, maybe. But other than that, you know, we're very particular about what we want and what we do. And, you know, we're creatures of habit. So we kind of pick up similar things and we pick up, you know, the things that we like and the things we don't like, we just leave behind. And sometimes we get daring and sometimes we, you know, get a little creative, get a little excited, and we go out there and do it. So this is kind of the same way. Our journey is, you know, whatever we want to make it, whatever we want to create. And, you know, apply the shopping concept. You know, a lot of us have created a world within ourselves. So we buy things, for example, that we think that we can use. And that, you know, sometimes it's either by price, by, you know, marketing, you know, the type of marketing, you know, that's been presented to us. Name brands, no name brands. You know, there's many reasons why people will shop. And the same applies to our journey within. What applies? What have we bought into? What have we, you know, purchased? In a rough word of saying, you know, what have we taken on? What have we, you know, taken into our spirit, into our soul, and that we are using every day, you know, manifesting it, creating it, vibrating into it, and sharing it with the world. You know, in our own world, you know, we see things one particular way. We move through it. You know, we ebb and flow with people, things, energies, circumstances, situations, you know, relationships. But, you know, the world within ourselves can also be one of the things that creates the world outside of us. Nothing that I'm talking to you about is really new. It's just a reminder that sometimes how we perceive the world is not how others perceive it. We would like others to perceive the world through our eyes and to try to understand and see the world in a certain way, but it's not always going to be that way. You know, we probably should not strive to, you know, impress everybody or have everybody believe what you believe or what you think you should believe, because that's not, you know, then we're all robots. You know, we should all have our mind. We should all be able to say, hey, I'm going to think about it this way. I'm going to look at it this way. I'm going to be open-minded about it. I'm going to think about it. You know, but the world within ourselves is, you know, compilation of different things that we've learned. And most of the stuff that we've learned are from people who have come before us. And those people who come before us are our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, friends. You know, it depends on how you and where you put people on a pedestal, how you present people, and how they affect you. But usually we learn from our parents, mostly. Those of us who were lucky enough to be with parents, and hopefully our parents, hopefully we were lucky enough to learn from them some valuable things. But remember, our kids also learn their things from their parents, and so on and so on. So we also have the opportunity to actually change things in our perception, change things in the life that we actually have today. Today we can, you know, raise our kids the way we want to raise them versus how somebody else wants to raise them. But, you know, a lot of things I find myself and I also find my friends sometimes saying, wow, I act just like my mom and my dad, you know, but there is a genetic part of it. There also is, you know, a thing of habit where we've learned and how we teach things now. And that's not to even add education. That's not even to add, you know, life experiences. And that's not adding the other things, the other factors that play into that, because a lot of that, it also plays into how you see your world and how you move into the world. Now, when we're moving into this within ourselves, you know, everything we create comes from here. It starts here in our mind. How we see it is how we believe it and how we perceive it, because that's just how it is. You know, and no matter what I say, some of you here who are on this show, listening to the show, won't jive to what I'm saying, won't understand what I'm saying, or don't care what I'm saying. And that's cool. And that's fine. I'm not here but to share ideas and, you know, some kind of different way of looking at life and be able to see how we maybe are stuck in our ruts and how we're stuck in the positions we are by the things that came before us. The other people's journey is influenced upon us. Now, I know some people don't like the word journey, right? But that's okay. It's not a big deal. Don't get hung up on words. Some people get really hung up on words. Well, that's a journey, you know. There's a lot of people who, you know, don't even like to use the word positive. They think we shouldn't always be positive. Positive is not about being positive. Positive, you know, it's about maybe being present versus being positive. And being present in a way that is open-minded and able to, you know, interpret what you're actually feeling and seeing. You know, our emotions are, you know, either affected, you know, adversely by the way someone looks at us or adversely, you know, how someone treats us. So being positive doesn't mean, hey, how you doing? Positive is a state of mind. Being positive or negative is a state of mind. There's times I don't want to be positive. There's times I just want to be where I need to be. And where I need to be is maybe down a little bit and just not feeling it. And that's okay. And that's all right. Because if you try to be ultra positive, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what ultra positive is. But just to be positive, period, is a lot of work. And being negative is a lot of work. So why can't we be in the middle and just kind of see both angles of it and say, okay, yeah, well, you know, and just let things flow into your life versus try to force them into your life. So this journey within us is something that we've worked, you know, for many, many years. I'm 50 years old. So for 50 years, I have been collecting, compiling, sorting, you know, filing, deleting, adding, subtracting, you know, playing out, experimenting, trying, all these different avenues, all these different views of how I would navigate through life. You know, when we all navigate through life, it's through our own personal experiences. How we manifest our experiences inside of us and project them outward upon other people, upon situations, that's the rub that we learn more about ourselves in that moment. How we are affected by how other people look at us and how other people treat us and how other people, you know, buy into or think that what we're doing is something positive, something negative, because not everybody understands everybody, even though we try to. Because if we truly understood every human being and we truly understood different cultures, we truly understood different things, we wouldn't have as many problems as we have in this world. And it's not because we don't want to try and we don't want to know. You know, I'll give you a little bit that some people don't give a damn. And, you know, they're happy where they're at and they're going to keep doing what they do. But it's hard to walk in another human being's shoes and try to understand what they're going through, what they're feeling, let alone what you're feeling. Sometimes we don't even know what we're feeling, but yet we're asked to step outside of ourselves and be embraced with other human beings and to take on energies, take on their feelings, take on emotions, and try to understand why they would be feeling the way they do. For some people, that's an easy task. For other people, not so easy. Okay? Why do we have groups that are aligned one way and groups that are aligned another? It's because of programming. It's all programming. Everything that we have in our lives is programmed. We've all been programmed. To what degree, what level, I don't know if that's really relevant. It's just how we navigate through life with that programming. Is that programming going to be effective? Is that programming going to move us into the state of mind where we need to be? For some of us, the programming, you know, is constantly adapting, constantly evolving. And for other people, the programming is, I don't want to say it's permanent, but it has a permanence to it where, you know, they don't move too much from where they're at. They're not able to open up a little bit to just see somebody else's angle, someone else's perception, someone else's view, because they believe that their view is so, you know, on target and that you, for some reason, don't see it and you're missing it. You know, that they're not even able to say, well, I'll listen to what you have to share. There are people who won't even give you that space and that moment to even share that. Now, sometimes we do that. Sometimes I do that. But I try really hard as I've learned and I've progressed, and I'm still progressing, and I'm still going through changes, and I'm still seeing the world, you know, the best I can. And I try to really listen to what other people say, and I really want to catch on what's going on. Sometimes it's difficult because I don't have any point of reference to what they're experiencing and what they've experienced. I have to actually go into my brain, try to find something that relates or is even closely resembles the emotion that they probably were feeling at that time or whatever they went through. Difficult. That's difficult when you find somebody and you're trying to meet somebody, trying to understand them, and they're trying to explain to you their story, how their life was molded and affected and changed. And then you try to listen, and then you try to go, okay, let me see how I can relate to this other human being and through their journey, through their experience of life, and what causes them to move through life a certain way. Some people are very trusting. Some people are not trusting. Some people are very closed. Some people are very open. And, you know, some people have changed those roles and moved around from it. But what happens is when we move through these roles, you know, sometimes those roles reverse because certain situations puts us in those roles. I guess the key is, when do we move out of those roles? When can we, you know, bounce from those roles in and out, and creating healthy limits and boundaries between all these different roles and all these different situations? I would want to say, yes, we can, but I would have to say some people cannot. We have a lot of people who are very hurt, who are very triggered, who are very upset. And, you know, some people don't even believe that, you know, certain things can't happen a certain way. You know, it's a lot of it has to do with our belief systems and the things that we have, you know, logged into our computer, our supercomputer, our mind. And for some of us, it's very difficult to step outside of that supercomputer. And, you know, the cool thing about it is a computer and it is programmable, you know, but is it easy to delete the information that's in there? Is it hard to store? Do we actually delete, like our computer, do we actually delete anything on our computer? Does anything really come off of it? The perception is it does. The perception is yes. But I have to say that fragmented parts of, you know, whatever you've deleted or information are still embedded in your computer, kind of just like the human mind. There are fragments in your computer that you have in your mind that are deleted, but they're not really deleted. You know, for example, someone says, this happened to me, I forgive them, okay, but I don't have to forget. Sometimes I don't understand what that means. Okay, if you've forgiven somebody, do we move on? Do we move forward? We don't forget, because if we don't forget, if we don't have that memory, conjures up more feelings, I would assume. But I'm not sure, because it's different from everybody, because when I've asked people that question, it's different for everybody. Some people can forget. Some people can forgive. Some people understand that they still hold the story in order to remember so things like that wouldn't happen to them. Our computer in our mind is very powerful. Okay, so that journey within ourselves to actually, you know, find the place where we can actually be in alignment with us, not necessarily with anybody else, but us, how we see ourselves through the eyes of ourselves, is very difficult sometimes because we are so visual humans. We are so visual. We touch, feel, smell, you know, and then all the other gifts that we have too, the intuition, you know, the empathic parts of us, the different aspects of us. So when do we actually travel outside of ourselves? You know, when we share ourselves to the world, you know, I can't say that I try every day to try to be, you know, a good face of myself, a good face of Iggy. But I try to be a good face of Iggy for me, you know, so I can see myself, you know, wanting to attract and vibrate into that energy to attract like-minded people, to like-minded situations, like-minded, you know, things that come to me. Now, if I'm vibrating in a space where I am maybe dark, maybe negative, then maybe that keeps people away, not necessarily brings people in. But it keeps people outside of me. It keeps people outside of my realm. It keeps people in a place where I don't actually move. I'm kind of stagnant. Now I'm out of there. So at some point, some people just don't want to hang out with you. Some people don't want to be with you. you know, if you're going to be critical, and I've been critical in the past. I know I've been critical minded, but the critic inside myself is really be critical about who I am and how I perceive myself and how maybe I feel like I've fallen short. And, you know, I would like to move into a space where I don't feel that way, where I feel able to, you know, share my internal thoughts without being, you know, judged or perceived a certain way. Now, especially in the work that I do, you know, the work that I do, I don't even know what it is. You know, when people ask me that and I say that, because I really don't know what it is. It doesn't have a name. And, you know, I have been taught by certain types of, you know, masters and teachers, or whatever you want to call them, you know, parents, grandparents, you know, shamanic teachers, you know, holistic teachers, metaphysical teachers. And, you know, I'm just a collage of all these people. I'm a kind of a spiritual, you know, fountain of this information. And also a spiritual part of it, the aspect that is seen, not seen and unseen, especially the part that's unseen, the part that comes to me, channels through me, works through me as the hollow bone. That is the part sometimes I can't explain to people how it works and how it happens. And I know it's difficult, especially in the society we live in, that we have to sometimes have to see it to believe it. And, you know, and it's not always that way. And it's for me. And when the energy flows through me and it's passing through, I can't explain to you what that feels like, what it tastes like, smells like. I know it's happening, and I know I'm just open to myself to the process and allow it to be. So within me, I know there's a myriad of things that are happening. You know, there could be things inside of me that are actually working with me, through me. You know, the bacteria, viruses, cells, you know, DNA, everything that's in there may play a way that I don't even understand. You know, science can prove things and science can show you things, but it doesn't always explain things properly. There's a whole universe, you know, that has expanded. There's a whole universe one time where two opposing forces came and they hit each other and they blew up. So that's, for me, the first indication that there is this spirit and that the creation is of two things, not just one. Because that would be an explosion versus, you know, a collision. When two colliding forces come together, that means there's something that poof, banded out. And you know what? Science still can't understand, still can't say why it's still expanding. That's where the limits of science come in. Science can't, you know, science is saying, well, it needs to implode. It needs to come back. I want to say hello to everybody who's listening. Hello, everybody. And, you know, science can't even prove things. Science, you know, can't show you things. You know, there's people who have the capacity to, you know, project into the future. People who can project into the past, you know, project, you know, their bodies into different places. Take their spirit, you know, outside their bodies. There's all kinds of things. There's people who can see other people's auras. There's people who can just, I mean, read people's minds. There are people who can do this. And sometimes our science debunks it because there's no, you know, they don't have the proof in front of them. They can't do the scientific method on it. You know, some things just are not meant to be understood by the scientific method. Some things have to be taken on faith that they are happening. You know, we live in a holographic universe. We live in this universe that, you know, does things that we can't explain. I think that's amazing. And I think that's pretty powerful. You know, not everything needs an explanation. Some things just are. Some things just happen the way they do. We are intrigued and fascinated when those things happen. And sometimes we want to have an explanation. But sometimes things don't bar explanation. Some things don't need to be explained. They just have to be taken and saying, you know what, I'm going to trust that that's it. That's how it works. You know, there's a purpose in things. It's like the spider when she spins her web. Why does she spin it in the fashion that she does? She can make a square, right? She can make a triangle. But why do the spiders make it circular? You know, the science would probably say one thing and explain it and do it. But I think there's also a spiritual aspect to it as well. The spider understands, you know, how the circle works, the circle of life, the movement of life. You know, a circle, you can see, you know, all around. In a box, you can't see all around. In a triangle, you can't all see around. You know, certain shapes mask and hide certain things. So when you're moving in the circle, if you're at the round table, like King Arthur per se, everybody can see everybody, and everybody can acknowledge everybody. And the spider's smart. She sits in the middle of her web, and when things hit it, she can see. She's got 180 degrees and 360 degrees all the way around and come back where she's at, you know, and she's able to understand what's happening. And I find that fascinating. So, you know, I've never seen a web that was just casted up and just thrown up there like whatever happened. Let me shoot webs everywhere. Spider-Man, going to shoot webs wherever I can. No, it's not like that. You know, spider has its intention, its purpose, and how it's going to do things. And, you know, sometimes human beings are not like that. We don't necessarily have intentions of what we're going to do. We just kind of travel. I think when we become like the spider and we have purpose and we create our, you know, our environment in a certain way, you know, I think we can have more direction and more understanding of where we're at. Because the journey within ourselves, you know, actually will play itself outwardly. No matter what you do, whatever you do inside here plays out. Monitoring ourselves and monitoring our emotions and our feelings is a very sacred gift. It's very sacred. Now, we don't always do it sacredly. There are people who just don't have any understanding what that word means, to be sacred. The thing is, when we're human beings, we don't sometimes want to be sacred. Sometimes we don't want to be perfect. We don't want to be in alignment. Because if we do, then we can't be this way. We can't be angry. We can't feel this emotion or this feeling. We feel like that we have, if we're in this certain type of emotion, then we have to behave and act a certain way. Maybe that's true for some people. Maybe if I am trying to be enlightened, then I cannot be negative. Whatever, man. Enlightenment is understanding what is presented in front of you, what is right there and what's happening right now. That's enlightenment. Enlightenment's not this place you go to. Enlightenment is the place you are at. When you open up your heart and you open up your mind and you see the other human being as another version of yourself, another version of you having experiences and moving through life because of the creation, you know, we're all creators. We're part of the creation. You know, a lot of people throw the I am in front of that, and that's fine. I am this, I am that. I am also everything that I'm not. I am also everything that I want to be, and I'm also everything that will be, and I'm everything that I was, and everything that has been. And for a lot of people, that's difficult. It's difficult to see that I am a bad person. Oh, I can't be like that. I can't see that in me. I don't have that in me. No one's saying that you have it in you. There are aspects of us that have something that looks similar to that. But I would never kill anybody. I can't kill anyone. No one said you were going to kill anybody. But there are aspects of how we kill ourselves every day when we don't do things to better our lives. We can kill ourselves from the head up and stop living. And we die there and just move through life. Death, killing, and moving are different things. You know, just because you don't perceive yourself as bad doesn't mean that you're not bad. It doesn't mean you're good either. Problem is we label. We put too many labels on things. And when we label things, we pigeonhole ourselves to think that that's how we have to move through life. And, you know, when we pigeonhole ourselves, then we're stuck. So how do we move out of the pigeonhole? How do we move out of that? I would have to say, by understanding that you're being pigeonholed. Okay, I've just given myself a limiting belief. I can't do that. That's a limiting belief. No, I don't have enough money. That's a limiting belief. I would never do that. I could never do that. You know, we create limiting beliefs in our lives. Because everything starts right here in our head. Everything, right here. Everything works in there. Inside of this head, inside of here, there's this brain. There's this thing called an organ, a brain. Okay, and this brain has never seen light, ever, in the physical form, per se. So how does the brain understand what is light, what is vibration, what is emotion, what is feeling, what it's even looking at? is something. What if I took off and shut off your sight, shut off your hearing, shut off your speaking, your sense of touch, your sense of smell, and left you in the body you have, but I took away all the senses, everything, the 5, 6 senses, 7th, all the senses, even the spiritual senses. What would happen? What would be your creation? What would you be? Are you still human without that? Are you? How would you move in? How would you even know where you're at? Would you even function? How would you even know? Would you be able to function? But yet you're still alive. And you're just senseless. And there's nothing there. So what happens? I don't know. But I'll tell you, the closest human being that I'm aware of who kind of was close to that was Helen Keller. Lost her sight, you know, couldn't speak, couldn't hear. And she learned how to communicate. You know, she learned how to communicate through the assistance of someone, another human being. So there's another co-creator in there, another human being helping her co-create and understand the universe within herself. Her universe, she had to translate her universe that she was living, okay? And she's living inside here, wondering what was out there. Yet out there was just a mirror, a reflection of her, but she couldn't see it. But she found a way. She found a way to move into that space. And I think that's where we need to be. Sometimes we don't see it, even though we have eyes, we have ears, we have a mouth. Sometimes we don't see it. So how do we move from what we, our creation inside of ourselves, and project it forward? How do we go into that space? How do we move into that space that allows us to see more of what we're truly seeing? Because what we see is very, you know, narrow. Blinders. I don't care how spiritual you are. We're all limited to some degree because of our belief systems. Because even spiritual people that I've talked to have lack, don't understand, can't figure out why they can't move forward, can't understand why their lives are, you know, so sucky, you know, and yet they channel and they can manifest certain things, but yet then they can't manifest money, and then they can't manifest relationships, and then they can't, you know, I don't understand. I don't get that. I don't get that because I just don't get it. But yet they can go off and tell somebody else, if you do this and do that, and then that person goes out and does it, then why is it so difficult for that other person who gave the advice, okay, to move into that space? I don't know. It's very interesting. You know, there's a theory about your cup. You can't help anyone without an empty cup. Think about it. Think about what I just said. You say, I can't help anyone with an empty cup, right? Your cup's empty for a reason. Your cup is there. You have a cup. You still have a cup. Full or not full, that cup is there to be filled, to carry for others, to share. The illusion is sometimes that we can't help others because we can't help ourselves. That's an illusion. Okay? There's a part of us that is able to tap into higher consciousness, another part of us that can tap into another form of energy, another form of believing to help other people, even though we can't help ourselves. We've all done it. Sometimes there's a guy down the street who needs a little help, and you have $5 in your pocket. You know, for you, that $5 doesn't mean anything, you know, or maybe that's your last $5 for gas, but you give it to some guy or some woman so they can have something to eat. But you know what? You change that person's universe. You change that person's perception on humanity. You change that person's perception of themselves. Maybe they just needed $5 to get them through the hump and over the hill. And then one day, when you're in need, they remembered you. It's funny how the universe works and how it plays out. Right now, we live in a time that everything seems to be black and white. he's bad. He's no good. I don't like that guy. That guy's no good. That guy's terrible. I don't know why that guy got voted into office. I don't know why. And blah, 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 blah. You know, you get really tired of it sometimes. We can stay in the energy where we are disruptive and explosive and just want to tear things down. And sometimes those things need to be torn down. But we can also be in the energy where we can create and build. Some things will move in directions that we can't control because they're just much bigger and much more, you know, in a different direction than we are. How do we move in the directions that will help humanity? How do we move in directions that help us? Because when we help humanity, we help ourselves to some degree. Because everything we do now is to help the future. We, you know, we are right now have given a loan to from the future to us in order to take care of the future. It's really complicated sometimes to think about. Everything's on loan to us. Everything. Your children are on loan to you. Your spouses are on loan to you. Your girlfriends are on loan to you. Your boyfriends are on loan to you. Your car's on loan to you. The house you live in is on loan to you. Your cell phones you have are on loan to you. You know? Everything is here to be released. Everything is we own is to be given away at some point. We will release it. We will let go of it. Because even if this cell phone, if it breaks down, we must release it and let it go. When my lease is up and I have to get a new phone, I release that one. Just like cars, just like people. Some people are meant to come into your life for a short period of time so you can learn and understand aspects of yourself, aspects of other people. And other people stay in your life for a very long time, sometimes forever. And sometimes, you know, it just happens all the time. But the cool thing about it is you're always with you. And, you know, when I hear, and you know, I'm hearing sometimes people say, you manifest things for your others, but not for yourself. But you've helped create others manifest for themselves. Because you've given them the opportunity to understand. But here's the thing. How do you vibrate in that vibration? Do you vibrate in that vibration where it's good for them but not good enough for me? Because sometimes we don't feel like we're worthy enough, that we're not worthy of receiving or having. Vibrations is very important. You know, for a lot of people, they forget about how they vibrate versus how they manifest. Because in order to manifest, you have to be in the right vibration. So how do you vibrate? So what does that mean? Well, we don't have to think of things like having, wanting, and needing. We have to vibrate in the vibration of that it will come to me when it's appropriate and when it needs to be coming or when I'm ready. Yeah, we would say, oh, but I'm ready now. If you were ready now, you would have it, but you don't have it. You don't have it because there's aspects of you that you're still battling. There's still aspects of you that feel loyal to certain situations. There's aspects of you who are not willing to let go of certain things. There's aspects of you that thinks that the next thing is more important than the thing that I would truly want. The next thing I have to do is pay my bills first, blah, 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 moving on, okay? If you want a brand new car, then you have to move into the vibration understanding where you're at financially, you know? If you need a car, want a car, there's a big difference. If you want to manifest, for example, a car, so how do we look at a car? Let's just use a car as an example. I need a car. First of all, I just said I need. Okay, so I come from a place of need instead of a place of want, a place of receiving. If we come from a place of receiving, and as if we've already had, you know, it does a whole different ball of wax, a whole different energy. Because sometimes when we want something so badly, that we overlooked how the steps to get us to where we need to be. And yes, this is true. Nothing on this plane is permanent. I agree with that. Vibration is internal. Yes, that is correct. I'm reading on somebody's thing here. So, you know, we're given what we can handle. We're given what we think we need. We all have what we need, and we're all in the place where we want to be. Because we've created these specific moments to bring us into the moment that we are today. You really have to do an analysis of self and try to understand why you feel like you're in a certain situation. Now, not everybody will get everything they want. Not everybody believes that they're going to get what they want. As hard as that sounds, and is I don't know, just doesn't sound like very appealing, but there are some of us who seem to get everything. How is it that somebody who has sometimes no education, is perceived not very smart, has a whole lot of stuff? Why? Because they were, I'm going to use the word dumb, for example, because someone says they're just too dumb to even know that they couldn't. Okay? They just believed enough that, you know, that they were worthy of it. You know, we have issues of loyalty and worthiness, you know, globally, not just in this country, all over. Some of us just don't feel like that, you know, we're worthy enough because we're loyal to belief systems that still hold us back. We're loyal to mom saying that we have to do this and be this way. We're loyal to dad saying, well, I have to work for it. I don't want a handout. I don't want anybody to give it to me. Sometimes, you know, people are too loyal to the system that they created inside themselves. I'm not saying to be disloyal to yourself, but I'm saying you're being loyal to belief systems that aren't yours. These belief systems are that you hold sometimes, and me too. I hold on to these belief systems that if I don't do something a certain way, I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to be able to achieve. The biggest thing in order for us to achieve and move into the spaces that we wanted to is by actually doing it and having action. So how do we do that action? Well, that's something you got to figure out, something you're going to have to work on. You know, the manifestation, see, there's all kinds of manifestors. We all manifest completely different. Some of us, how do I say this? Think of a garden, okay? Think of a garden. Some people till the soil, okay? And that's what they're good at, and that's what they do. Some people prepare the soil, okay? They're the ones that rake it. They're the ones that, you know, move it, spread it out. Then there's another group of people who come in, and what they do is they are the planters, okay? And this is universal. This is universal. This happens a lot to people, and they don't really see it. That's why I'm trying to give you the example of the garden. So now we've had, what, 3-4 different groups of people? The next person comes in and plots down the seeds and understands where the seeds are and places them. Yet, let's say they forget to label them. There's another group of people who come in, as soon as they start to sprout, they nourish it, and they water it. They take care of it, even if there's a weed in there, because they didn't plot it. They didn't give it any direction. And as they grow, there's other people who tend to the garden, and they pull out things that they call weeds, things that just don't match the resonancy that they believe, because all things are not weeds. Someone else's weed is somebody else's medicine. Remember that. But for this garden, we need certain things to grow. Okay? You follow me now? When we're growing certain things, it's because we're moving to the direction that's more dominant and pushes us there. There are other things growing in this garden. Like your mind, there are other things growing alongside the things that you want to create. So how do you tend to that garden? So we're moving along. This garden's growing. There are still people who are tending to the garden, pulling the perceived weeds. There are other people who are maintaining, making sure that the plants grow strong. So they'll add manure, they'll add certain, you know, organic fertilizer. There are other people who add chemical fertilizers. There are other people who add chemicals to it to make it grow. Now, they both work. One is more holistic. One is, they're both of the earth, even the chemical. But yet, they all do adverse things to that particular garden. Your garden, when you start to take certain types of food into your system, you take organic, certified, I have to use that word, or you take something that was sprayed with toxic chemicals. All this came from the earth, but just how it's compounded is what causes it to be a certain way. Now, this is your mind. Think of your mind as this garden, as you're using creating this garden, and this garden's growing. Now the garden's growing. Now, you have more than enough. You have abundance. There are people who were in the early stages that helped you along to move you into the space. There are people who told you, this can't be in the garden. You need to move it out right now, or it's going to cause you problems. There are other people saying, well, you need to cut this particular thing out because this particular one is stronger than the other. You need to cut it out. Because sometimes we take care of other things better than we take care of ourselves. Our mind is the same way. Now, the fruit starts to mature on these plants. You have corn, tomatoes, strawberries, you know, you name it. You put whatever you need to put there. Now, that person's job is complete. That person has moved from that stage. Now, there's another person who comes in and says, and these people can be teachers. These people can be sages. These people can be your brother, your mother, your sisters. These are all people who have contributed to your garden of your mind. Okay, the journey within you. They've all contributed. Now, the next group of people come in, and they show you how to till the garden, how to tend to it. How do you keep it growing? How do you keep it, you know, green? How do you keep fruit on it? How do you keep going? You're going to lose some of this stuff. You're going to lose some of your crops. You're going to have bugs invaded. You're going to have disease. You're going to have things that come into it. So as you're growing, as you're maturing, and as you're understanding, you begin to get the fruit. You have the strawberries picked. And not all the strawberries are sweet. Okay? And some of the corn is good. Some of it's not. Some of it's stunted. And, you know, it's just like our thoughts, just like our mind. Sometimes we're sweet. Sometimes we're bitter. Sometimes we're stunted. Sometimes things don't develop. Some things don't flourish. But we've been tilling. We've been tending to the garden the whole time. That's how life is. We're always going to be tilling, and we're always going to be tending to our garden. What we allow into our garden is important. Whatever information that you're allowing in is also programming you. That programming could be anything. It could be the show could be programming you. This show could be, what I'm saying could be a programming or deprogramming or whatever you want to call it. What we read, you know, what we listen to, you know, the people we hang out with, the areas we live in, all those things, they play into who we are today. The garden. The garden can be put on good soil, soil that lacks mineral. The soil even that lacks mineral will grow, but it won't grow. It will not grow the same way if you had good soil. So when you create and you want to vibrate and you want to manifest, you have to create into soil that is nutritious for you. Patience, taking time and understanding that it doesn't happen overnight. It will happen little by little, steps by steps. That garden has to be tended to. Your garden, your mind, the garden of your mind, the garden of your soul, the garden of your spirit, the garden of you, your temple, has to be tended to as well as you tend to the garden that you have outside of your house. Because what you put into this garden will manifest itself outwardly. You know, I'm not saying there are shortcuts to this. Sometimes there are. But this garden now has had a process where many people have had their hands in this garden. Many people. Remember how I started the story? It was just soil. And there's even a story before the soil, you know, that somebody had to come in there and prepare that soil to get it ready. Just like, you know, the journey within you. The soil that's been laid before you, whatever's been laid before you, inside of you, some of it needs to go. Some of it doesn't serve you. I'm not sure how you're going to move out of that and tend to that garden inside your mind and pull it away. But some of us still allow it to just stay there and fester in there and see it. Now, inside of us, it's easy. I'm going to say it's easier to tend to a garden than to tend to the garden within ourselves, the mind, inside of our mind. Sometimes it's more difficult because we are creatures of habit. We are creatures of stubbornness. We are creatures of letting go. We are creatures of not allowing certain people to, you know, into our space. But everybody here has had some type of influence from some type of person, some type of situation, some type of events that have molded us, changed us, and put us into the place that we are today. We are where we are today because of all the people that come before us, all the things that we've collected, all the things that we pre-recorded, recorded, okay, and allowed it to be in there. So how do we allow these things to come, other good things come in our lives? First of all, we need to see the good things that we have now. Think about all the good things you have now and ask yourself, how did you get those good things now? How did you get those good things that you have now? You know, you have a family, you have a child, you have, you know, a house, you have your health. How did I get that? How did I get into that space? It's simple when we can go back and look at it. it's difficult sometimes because we're in it. You know, we can't see ourselves. So the only thing we truly see is our hands before us, in front of us, unless we look in a mirror. And then we even have questions about how we perceive ourselves, how we look. If that's what we really look like, oh my God, or maybe I should shave, or maybe I should, you know, lose a couple pounds, you know. You know, understanding, you know, the blessings before us is very crucial. Sometimes we don't want things before us, but yet we're not able to move out of the space. Some of us are in relationships that, you know, trap us and keep us there, but we don't leave because of comfort, because we're scared. We don't know if we can make it. We don't know if we can move on. Some of us are in situations where, you know, I'm glad I left. I wish I'd left earlier. I wish I'd moved faster. I wish that would have happened sooner. But we don't do it because we're scared. A lot of us have that fear factor. We have fear of the unknown, fear of parts of us, fear that we may fall short in the process. But you have to trust that you're not going to fall short on the process. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be hard. It's what we put our energy into. If we believe it's going to be difficult, it's going to be difficult. If we believe that we don't want to give up those things, then we won't give up those things. There are some of us who are not willing to give up certain things because we're in a good space. But yet we want things, but we can't allow things in because we're not even honest with ourselves what's good for us. Some of us get it, some of us don't. I personally manifest pretty well. There are certain things I wish I wouldn't manifest well. And there's other things I lack and fall short because of my thinking and my lack of thinking that I really deserve that. There's another part of me that goes, you know, I don't even have to speak it. I don't even have to open my mouth. It's a subconscious level. It's so deep that I don't even know it's happening. There's things that I would like to have, but I don't have them because subconsciously, somewhere in my mind, somewhere in that programming, I believe that I'm not worthy of that. I can say it now. I know it's there. I just don't know what it is, but it's there. And it happens for a lot of us. A lot of us want things, need things, wish they had things, but we can't do. We can't move to the next level because we don't even know where we're at in the present moment. Sometimes we have to do things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to do things that just change us a little bit. The thing that you have to understand and hopefully you get is we just don't have to do things that hurt others and things that don't hurt us. Because you know what? There are people who will do that. There are people who would walk over hundreds of people to get what they need and want. And sometimes that works for them, don't work for the people that happen. How did those people manifest that in that situation? It's really complicated sometimes when you start to think about it. How is it that so many people suffer and so many people do have without, and yet there's the 1%, for example, have everything? What happened? What's the difference between them and us? Well, there is no difference. The only difference is how much money they have in their wallet, what they do every day in the 24 hours they have. The difference is in their programming. They're programmed different. They're programmed and they're in the right situations because of prior programmings from their generations. We, for example, the middle class, the lower class, we have a different type of programming. We're programmed to be anti-one percenters, for example. We're programmed to want to take from them, you know, and give back to the poor. Our programming it's all programmed. So when we fight and we push against what we resist, you know, it's there. We're pushing against it. Is everybody supposed to be rich? Sure, everybody can be rich. Everybody can have anything. We could have a utopian society if we truly wanted that. If we truly wanted a utopian society, we as a race could have it. But the thing is, everybody has to agree on things, and not everybody will agree. You won't even agree with yourself what that would mean, a utopian society, what that would look like. But so, if you're not manifesting, then you really have to look at yourself why. And you truly have to be honest, and you truthfully have to look at yourself. Do I work? Am I lazy? Do I want it? Do I, am I working too much? Am I have too many jobs? Am I unfocused? Do I have goals, plans, and desires? What's it going to take? Do I have the proper vehicle to get me to where I need to be? Is the vehicle I'm working proper? Like, if you have a Datsun, you want to race it in the Indianapolis 500, yeah, you have a car you can race in the Indianapolis 500, but you may not win that race. You have a car, but you don't have a race car. There's a difference. You have a vehicle, but it's not the proper vehicle. That's the thing. You have to have the proper vehicle, the proper frame of mind, the proper programming, the proper engine, the proper guidance. Will that Datsun ever be a sports car? It can be, but not in the sense in that particular race. You have to pick your races and move through the races and progress into the races and levels. We level up as we move, as we age. You know, 50 should be the level 50, you know, instead of the age of 50. I'm at the level 50, you know, might be have a different ring to it. Level 1, level 2, 14, 13, I don't know. But even because you're 50 or 60 or 80 doesn't make you wiser. There are people who are 13 and 12 who are wiser than someone who's 50. I've met them. I know them. The only thing that makes you wise is for yourself, the experiences you have. And those experiences are what guide you through life. Ask yourself this question. Now that you have lived many, many years, many, many, many years, some of you 30, some of you 40, some of you 60, 70, whatever, what could you do different that you didn't do back then to get you to the place you want to be today? What would that be? What would that look like? What could you do right now to change your life into the direction you would like to move it to? And then ask yourself, why won't I do it? And I guarantee you, like me or anybody, you'll have excuses. I'm too shy. Oh, I'd never do that. Oh, I don't want to be like those people. No, I don't deserve it. I'm happy where I'm at. That's my biggest one. Oh, I'm happy where I'm at, Iggy. I got everything I need. I got my car. I got my house. And then 2 weeks later, damn, I wish I had there. You know, if you're happy where you're at, then cool. Then you're fine. But you still have to progress. You still have to move forward. You still have to grow. You still have to manifest other things. And for those of us who are happy where we're at, hey, I'm not going to doubt. I'm not doubting any moment here that you are not happy where you're at. But there's always more to strive for. Human beings are always striving to be better. Human beings are always moving to the direction where they want to be more than where they were before. I know I don't want to be where I was before. I know I want to move into a space of more understanding myself and how I play out in the universe, how I affect the universe. I know that I'm part of the creation. I know that I am part of spirit, and that I move with spirit and flow with spirit. Now, there's times that I don't believe it. There's times I go, oh, my God, that's only God can do that kind of stuff. I don't want to do that. That's blasphemy. Those of you who are biblical, in the Bible, Jesus said, you'll do greater things than I did. You know, we'll do greater things than Jesus did. If that's where you resonate, if that's where your energy is, if that's what you believe in, if that's what centers you. And, you know, that's programming too. That's programming too. Because then we're locked in a programming of heaven and hell. And then there's nothing else. And, you know, there's no proof that anything of this exists. We're on faith that this is real and this is happening. Right? I have to believe that there is a God out there. I have to believe that there is a creator. I have to believe that there is a grand master of the universe. I have to believe that there is a divine feminine energy. I have to believe that there's a grand, you know, father out there. I have to believe all that. I don't care who you are and you're telling me, oh, but if you don't believe in him, you know what? We have faith. We have to have a faith. And that faith is what's in here and what's been taught to us. There is no guarantee that anything that we've learned and believed is even true. We just have to understand that, yeah, there's a biblical this and biblical that. And then, you know, Buddha was this and that. But there's no guarantee that anything they taught is even true. If there is a nirvana, we don't know. We just have to believe that that there is, that we have to have this faith, this, you know, this resounding belief that we are more than just this physical body. We're more than just this physical body. That I believe. My thinking is different. I believe that there's a creator. I believe that there's something that created everything. And I don't think there's just one. I think it's two. I believe there's something out there that's much bigger than me, but works through me, with me, you know, and through other people as well. It's not just me, all of us. But yet somebody creates a story, and that story is heaven and hell, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Hindu, you know, this crystal, that crystal, crystal skulls, you know, whatever. But human beings, they have to follow whatever centers them, whatever gets them to the place they need to be. And you know what? What I believe is not what you believe. And what you believe is not what I believe. I know for me what centers me and what keeps me going. You know, my upbringing was Catholic. And we had a very dogmatic purpose and dogmatic way of teaching things. But I challenge that. Who knows? Who truly knows what the outcome is? Does it really matter? Really, maybe to the people who believe in that belief, it matters. But I think we will create to the day we die. And after we die, we'll keep creating and keep moving through space and time. We don't ever die. The physical body dies, and that's what we miss, and those are the people we miss. But there are things that are unexplained. Remember when you were born? Some of us do. Some of us don't. Do you remember being inside your mom for 9 months, sitting in there, incubating in the warmth, in the shelter of her womb? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? All of a sudden, because that's just how it is, you begin the process of birth. You begin to be pushed out. Contractions, walls collapsing, uncomfortable emotions, kind of like life, huh? And all of a sudden, it's not comfortable anymore. Wait a minute, what the heck is going on? That didn't happen last week. Why all of a sudden do I feel pressure on my body? Why am I like tangled up and upside down? And then all of a sudden, we start to feel emotions and feelings that we've never felt before. We start to get pushed down the canal. Most of us, the majority of us, we get pushed down this canal, a small canal, not, let alone big. You know, the mother's, you know. And then all of a sudden, we're being forced into this hole, into this space that's it's so constrictive and so, you know, as a metaphor in itself, you know, to a transformation, like coming out of a cocoon, you know, releasing and moving in the chemicals and the adrenaline and the DMT that's being released in your body. All of a sudden, you feel this pressure and you feel this euphoric feeling all at the same time as you're being pushed through the birth canal. And all of a sudden, you come out and you don't see anything because you can't see. You have no vision. You have maybe blurriness. Your eye, you're coated in a film that protects you. And more, you're being constricted. Some of us, it's eating. Some of us, hard. Some of us are battling for our lives in that moment. Some of us don't even know what's happening. We just know that life's happening. We just know at that moment as we're being birthed through the canal, something is changing. Something is happening to us. Something is molding us, and something is putting us into a space where we've never been before. That moment will change us forever. That moment will change us and manifest us into a creation, an understanding that we've never will understand. And as we're coming through the birth canal, we come out of this canal and we still haven't taken our first breath yet. All we know is that we're outside this body. Some of us are crying. Some of us aren't even awake. Some of us are still asleep. Some of us are still don't have the life essence per se. And some of us are moving. And then all of a sudden, the doctor cuts the umbilical cord, the cord that has fed us, the cord that has sustained us, the life force that has kept us alive. And all of a sudden, poop, it's caught. And then all of a sudden, we have cut a cord. We have detached from something that has protected us, that has been our way of life for a certain time. And as we detach from that, a lot of things happen. All of a sudden, inside of our body, this baby, a whole bunch of things start to kick in. We start to feel things that we didn't feel before. We start to feel cold. We start to feel breathless. And all of a sudden, the desire to take a breath hits us. And boom, we take our first breath in this new existence that we've come into. We have no clue what's happening. We have no idea what just happened. And all of a sudden, we're here. And we're taking our first breath. And we cry because, damn it, I'm scared to death. I don't know where the hell I'm at. What the hell just happened? I was in a nice, hot, warm place for 9 months. And all of a sudden, I'm out in this cold. There's lights. There's voices. There's screaming. And somebody just hit me in the ass. I'm like, whoa, what the hell was that? And then, you know what? All of a sudden, I'm this person outside of another person. I'm this person who's taken on this new existence. I'm this person who now has to fend for myself with the help of other people. And now I'm wrapped up, and I'm put on the thing, and I'm laid down there under a heat lamp, like if I was at McDonald's or something, keeping me warm. And then, you know, I'm being weighed. I'm being fondled. I'm being touched. I'm being circumcised, whatever. I'm giving shots, you know, in my body so I don't have diseases. You know, they're probing my nose, squirting things out of me, cleaning off the white stuff on my body. You know, think about all that traumatic emotional feeling that you are going through at this very moment of birth. All of a sudden, in those few precious minutes, in those few first 5 minutes of life, what is going on in your life? What's happening? And the only thing you're trying to figure out is where you came from and how you want to go back there, but you can't go back there. There's no way to go back into your mom. There's no way to go back into conception. There's no way to go back there. There's no way. It's impossible. You can't. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're hungry. Yeah, you're hungry. And then all of a sudden, you're here. You're here. Programming of your life. Very first, pain, suffering, learning how to breathe. How do I defend myself? What's going on? Questioning. Before you even knew what questioning was. And then you fall asleep. Because you're the baby. And then you meet this person 2 seconds, maybe 10 minutes later, they put them on top of you, if you're fortunate enough. And you look into your eyes and you lock eyes with this other human being. And you lock with this person. That's why they say that the eyes, you know, they're the soul. The soul is the people. The soul is to the eyes. Then your baby locks onto you, and that's why you have this connection. This powerful, mothers have this powerful connection with their children. They meet each other for the first time. First time outside themselves, you know, the connection is different now. And now also the teaching and the learning becomes different. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful when you have to think about birthing. And I know I left some steps out, but it's a beautiful metaphor because from that point, we've started on a journey. We've started on a within ourselves, in working ourselves through life. And every day, little by little, we progress. Every day, we're moving into a space of trying to understand what's happening. Even, you know, with my new grandson, I'm sure in his mind, he's still trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Each day, he starts to forget about delivery, conception, where he was. He doesn't worry so much anymore. Because now he's in a new path. My granddaughter's on a new path. Everybody's on a new path. Everybody's on a new journey. You know, a new place they're going. Even mom and dad, if you're fortunate enough to have both. And then all of a sudden, all everybody's working together to raise this little baby. And teach this little baby everything about the world through the perceptions and how they perceive their world and what they're going to teach their child. And so this child learns from the very first people that knows, mom and dad, or just mom, maybe just dad, maybe grandma and grandpa, maybe a foster home, maybe some adopted parents. But this child will learn. This child will learn from whoever is before them. This child will learn the basic foundations of being a human being and what that means to be human. So ask yourself, what does it mean to be human? Who are we? What are we? What do we do? What is our purpose? What do we want to gain from this? Some people would say bringing a child into this world is cruel, an unusual punishment. Other people would say it's beautiful. This person may change the world. That's where I resonate. That this person may change the world. That this human being, this one particular human being, with my guidance and guidance of others who are around me, and this child may change our lives and our perceptions of what life is like. It's really what you want to create. It's really what you want the story to look like. It's really how you want to paint that picture, how you want to write the story of your life in the life of others, especially those of you who have who are parents and have children. You have a grand opportunity to lay a foundation that's so amazing and so powerful and so beautiful. And, you know, it's never too late, even if they're older, but you'll have to be the example sometimes to guide them into that place, because not everybody's ready, and then they're still working from the program. And then even as you get older, excuse me, your kids who are older, they'll watch you and they'll say, "Why you didn't teach me like that. You weren't like that. Now you're all of a sudden you're just like mushy and lovey dovey. You used to spank me, blah blah blah." You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, we progress, we evolve, we change, we learn. We learn from things that didn't work, and we thought that's how it worked because sometimes that's what we were taught, and that's what was told to us, that that's the way it has to be. Every family, every situation has its own identity, its own creation, its own way of doing things. So I'm not telling you how to parent. I'm not telling you how to do things. I'm just asking you to look at yourself and self-evaluate if you are in the proper directions that you want to go. Are you teaching your children? Are you teaching the loved ones around you? Are you learning from the loved ones around you in a way that's healthy for you? Only you know why you don't have what you don't have. Only you know why your life is in the place it is. Only you know. I don't know. All I know is me, and that's it. And I don't even know myself. I only know aspects and versions of how I perceive myself. Sometimes I look at myself, I'm like, I don't know what's so funny. I don't know why people think it's funny. It's not that. Sometimes people bring out of us things inside of us that we can't bring out ourselves. You know, there are people who just are able to magically make us smile. There are people who just magically make us feel a certain way. And there are other people who can just magically make us pissed off. You know, there are people who we just give our energy to and we give, you know, parts of ourselves to. It's just how it is. As human beings, we just have this dynamic and cosmic dance with people all the time. And, you know, sometimes it's comfortable and sometimes it's not. But I know we're all trying our best. We're all doing the best we can with the tools we have and the things that we've learned. And that's all we can ask of anybody, just to do their best. And I'm grateful that all of you took time to listen to what I had to say, because I know that you have important things to say too. And I've read some of the things that you've posted, and I get that. I love you because I love myself. I'm able to open parts of myself to allow you into my life. not everybody comes into my life. Not everybody's open. And I don't let everybody in. But the ones who do come in, they also change and help mold me. They help change aspects of myself that I don't even know I have, that I was even aware of. And that's what's so important. That's what's so cool, to be in the moment with human beings, to be in the moment with people, and to be uncomfortable sometimes when people put you in a place, you know, where you think that you shouldn't be. But sometimes we do that. Most of you I've met in person who are here online with me, and some of you I've never met. But yet, you all affect my life in a certain way, with your questions, with your responses, with your pictures you send me in Messenger and timelines, whatever. You all have moved me and touched me in ways and have helped me get to this place in this moment that I am. And it's good to be here with you. It's good to be here. Very good to be here. It's good to be here because I want it to be good, and I want to be here, and I want to be in this moment. You know, life is interesting. When we think we're up, sometimes we're down. And when we're down, sometimes we're up. You know, people look at us and they go, you know, my circumstances are much worse than yours, or my circumstances are much better. You know, one guy's way of living is going, wow, I wish I had your life. You hear people say that. And this person's super rich. And then there are other people who are poor and who think that they should be like this guy. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we think other people have it better than us. And sometimes the gifts that are right in front of us, we miss because we're looking over there. Not everybody's going to be happy. Not everybody's going to be up to par and with the things that they have. But I at least give it a chance and say, hey, you know what? I'm happy that at least I have this. I can do better. I will do better. I'm on the verge of doing better. You know, we have to make decisions every day, every moment, all the time. That one decision we make can change our world in many directions. In many directions. There's no one right way. But when we make the decision, we move into that space, and that space is occupied, and we occupy it. Now, most of you I know, and I know most of you will do well, and most of you are doing well from how I project upon you, and I believe that you're going to do well. And of course, that's projecting, because that's what I would like for my life, to do better. And if I want to do better, I want the people around me to be better and do better. Who in the heck would want someone to do bad? Iggy Garcia wants to do better. Iggy Garcia wants to see you do better. I want to see you do better. Is it going to be easy? I never said it's going to be easy. Is it going to be hard? I never said it was going to be hard. That's up to you to decide if it's going to be hard or easy. You have to make that decision if it's going to be hard. You know what? One man's hard isn't always another man's easy, right? Some people do things and you're going, wow, how'd you do that? Because for them, it wasn't hard. You know, I try to change how I think about things, you know. Some people are like, this is difficult. You know, I caught myself doing that too. But I'm thinking, I'm not going to use that word anymore. I'm going to just do it, you know. And I find that things flow better for me. When I get stuck in words and programming, I remember the first day I did a show, I was so scared. Not because of what other people were going to say. I was scared because I didn't know if I was going to say it properly, people would understand what I was going to say. And, you know, I didn't want to come across wrong. I didn't want to screw up. I didn't want to make a mistake, you know. But I did it. I got up there and I got this microphone on and I said, I'm just going to talk and take my notes and listen, you know, and I'm going to just kind of go free flow a little bit and then go back to my notes. And it worked out okay. 10 years later, 17 years later, you know, here I am sharing more thoughts and more things that I've learned. I've done a lot in my short life. I've coached soccer. I still coach soccer. You know, I coach people. I still coach people. You know, I drum. Still drumming. I dance. Still dancing. You know, I travel. There's more things to do. I'm not going to wait to do things like I used to do. Yeah, it may be one of those things that, you know, I have to really be creative and figure out how to do it. But I'm going to do it. And I encourage you to try it as well. When things hit you and things come hard and things seem tough, they're there to shape you, mold you, and then for you to also figure out and go, okay, let me think about this. How can I turn this into something that will work in my benefit? And like you said, I didn't say positive. I just said my benefit. How can I turn this into a situation that, you know, is a win? Maybe there is no win in this. Maybe there is just an observation moment. Sometimes it's we're there to observe what's happening versus, you know, what's going on. Sometimes we just have to be the watcher. Okay, I'm here to watch. Okay. Remember, the watcher can also change and affect how things happen or what happens. How many times, for parents, when you're looking at your kids and they're screwing around, they're doing things, you don't have to say a word. You just look at them. I'm watching you. Don't do that. And the kids are like, okay, Dad. They know. Unspoken word. Unspoken word. What's up, man? But, just keep plugging away. Don't stop. Don't quit. And when it seems like it's the hardest, it's going to be easier after that. I guarantee you. There's nothing else there. There's nothing left after hard. You have to go back to easy and figuring it out. Now, life is beautiful. The stink eye. Yay. Popeye. But you know, life is beautiful. Life is beautiful because I want it to be beautiful. You may not want it beautiful. For me, life is beautiful. Even the ugly parts. And there's a lot of ugly parts. But within those ugly parts come beautiful things. Things where people come together, work together, you know, manifest together. And then, you know, we have an opportunity as human beings to do whatever we truly want. You know, I'm not here to preach to you religion, politics, whatever, because we got enough of people who do that. I'm here to preach to you, if I want to preach, is anything's possible. You just got to figure out how to make it work. You're going to have to figure out how to manifest and put the right gardening into it, like I talked about earlier. How you're going to have certain key people come into your life to help you move that garden along. The garden of your mind. Because it all starts in your mind. I don't care who you are. And it manifests and translates through your body, translates into your heart. Well, if it gets into your heart, that's like another brain down there. And if your heart opens up and your heart goes, man, I want this like bad, you will find a way and you will open doors that you've never knew you could open. You know? So go out there. Make a difference in your own world. You make a difference in your own world, then you make a difference in everybody around you. You know, we're talking about drum circles there. You know, when I was drumming alone in my house, when I was just used to do it, you know, one day I just had the idea I wanted to start drum circles. Nobody else was really doing it, and no one was really doing it the way I wanted to do it, the way I wanted to share. And little by little, it just manifested into something that what it is now. Now I'm all over the place, sharing my desire to see it happen. I didn't invent drum circles. They've been around since the day we were born. Because the big drum circle is right here in our heart. That's the main drum circle we need to worry about. That drum, our heartbeat, that's the gift from spirit. That is the beat that we should worry. That's the beat we carry into the world. That's the beat we share. That heartbeat. Creator's gift to us. So how you playing that beat, it's up to you. But, you know, for those of you who want to come to Drum Circle, the next one will be here in Columbus at Divine's Place. And that will be December 3rd, I believe, Full Moon Drumming. But before that, we're going to have a Singing Bowl event happening on November 18th. For those of you who want to come to the Singing Bowl, it's the new moon. So we'll be doing stuff. Just check all my events that are happening. You know, drumming, shamanic classes. I have a shamanic workshop, urban shamanism class coming up, which should be really exciting. And, you know, that's, I teach it way different than most people teach. But anyhow, you know, those of you who want to stay connected, stay connected. And those of you who've had, you know, your share, you know, good. And take what you want tonight. Take what was important. If nothing else really mattered, move it along. Say thank you. Don't need that. I resonate with this. I don't resonate with that. That's fine. You're not going to offend me. Because I'm working from my perception, my point of view. I just want to share what's going on in my life and how I move and navigate through my life. Is my life perfect? No, absolutely not. I don't want it to be perfect. Because then I'll miss things. I won't have fun. I won't have those opportunities to learn from things if everything was perfect. So with that, you know, I just want to leave, you know, with just a little thought. Just do your best. Do your best with the tools you have. And just keep adding to your toolbox. Take out some things that you don't need anymore. You know, change them out. Move them. And, you know, if like any those of you who are mechanics, you know that when you have the right tools, things go a lot easier. And when you have tools that don't quite fit and don't quite work, but you still get the job done, it takes a little bit longer. But once you have the right tools in the right place and you have movement, you're flowing, and things move quicker. You know, when the beaver doesn't dam the river flows. So think about the things that are dammed in your life. And not dam, like dam, not dammed. Just be grateful for everything that you have. Have gratitude. Be grateful. It starts there, truthfully. It starts there with the small things. And the small things compile, and they work bigger. It goes the other way, too. The small things compile. The good, the bad, and ugly. Think about it. Just be grateful. When you say thanks, and when you find that place that moves you, you'll move in the right directions. So, guys, I want you guys to have a great night. It's been a pleasure. I always enjoy being on here. I'll be back in a couple weeks and to share more thoughts that I have. I appreciate you guys tuning in to With Insights and listening to my podcast. Always a pleasure. You can find me at iggygarcia.com, and you can see my events going on there. And communicate with me there, or with InsightsRadio as well. .com, or here on Facebook, just drop me a line. Tell me how you enjoyed the show, anything that you want me to talk about, things you want me to share, things you agree or disagree with. I'm open to the possibility. You know, questions and answers as well. And I love you guys, and be well. Take care of yourselves. Stay connected. Love one another. Be good to one another. And I will see everybody soon. If I don't see you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. Let's give thanks to everything. Be well. Peace out. Much love. Take care. And good night, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.